Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Friday Night Live. Another message from the Word of God, a beautiful song from Vicky. The Word of God, that's our meal, that's our feast. The love feast is the Word of God. So let's pray. Father, just bless your Word tonight. Bless this time of fellowship. It's time of koinonia, fellowship, together with one another and with you and the Father and the Son, Lord. And that we would all have one mind, one thinking, and that your Word would infiltrate into the deepest, darkest areas of our souls, Lord. Cleanse, purify, and give us the understanding that we need to keep moving on in this evil world, Lord. The days are definitely evil. So we need you, Lord, more than anything, your grace and your love, so that we faint not in these troublesome times. And Lord, also we thank you for the gift of your Son, the gift of your life, Lord Jesus, that you freely, voluntarily gave on the cross to free us from our sins. Nothing greater in the world. And we just love you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord has a plan for me. He wants me to be like His Son. Isn't it just like the Father to want His best for me? He wants His highest and best for me. He wants me to be rooted and getting my life blood from the tree. The vine, the true vine, no one more divine, the fairest of the fair. The morning star that shines, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. The only one that you can rest in, the beginning and the end. Ooh, God's very best. Do you see Him, my friend? Jesus did it all for you. He gave everything He had, paid the price in full. Would you only look to Him if you could only get a glimpse of Christ upon the tree? The perfect match, the sinless one, who died to make you free. He wants me to be rooted and getting my life blood from the tree. The vine, the true vine, no one more divine, the fairest of the fair. The morning star that shines, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. The only one that you can rest in, the Alpha and Omega. Ooh, God's very best. Today I saw you clearly by looking into your word. I really wanted to know you, Lord. Ooh. And you showed me.
Thank you, Vicki. Always, always a blessing. Like I said, it's Friday Night Live. Already, April the 28th, 2023. Tonight we're going to try. It's hard. But I'm going to try to show you how he loved you and me. That'll be the name of the message. Oh, how he loved you and me. I've been teaching 1 John. We finished 1 and we finished 2. So we're going to start on 3 tonight. Try to keep some kind of order here. So if you'll open your Bibles to 1 John 3:1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we would be called children of God, and no such, and we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it didn't know him. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loved you and me. Try to take a stab at this agape love. It's a love that's unknown to the human race until the turn of the century when Christ showed up, God incarnate in the flesh, and he showed us and he taught us of this great agape love. You could try, study, read about it your entire lifetime, read every book on it, still not even have one little grain of sand in a bucket of understanding about it, because it's that awesome, it's that massive. But the world didn't know him, therefore he doesn't know us. So don't feel bad if you don't get any plaques or rewards from your neighbors, or they send offerings in for you prayer warriors we have around here. But they didn't know him, so they're definitely going to not know us. Okay, this verse starts out with I-D-E-T-E, which is an aorist active imperative. Now, Scott was teaching last week that the aorist is a past tense. Well, 90% of the time it is, but here it's an ingressive, and it means to begin an action. And I usually find it with the imperative mood. So if you haven't been before, start now. See how great. Look. Harao. See. Not just take a glimpse, but a long, hard look. Learn and know and understand. It's imperative, so it's not a suggestion. It's a command. 1 Timothy 1:5. The goal, the telos, of our instruction is love from a pure heart, good conscience, and a sincere faith. That's where our frame of reference, our stream of consciousness comes in. We take it in and it circulates through there and cleanses us from all unrighteousness and teaches us new words and teaches us how to walk the spiritual life by faith. So, in Ephesians 3:18, so that we may be able to comprehend together with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, the pleroma, full of God, full of Christ, and full of agape. How vast? Well, this psalm is speaking about His Word, but His love could be the same, vast. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, firmament shows His handiwork. Day into day utter speech, night into night shows knowledge. There's no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. The line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them has He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoice as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and His circuit into the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat. It's as vast as the heavens are. When you, either in the daytime you can't see too far, but at night you can see forever. And you can just tell how vast everything is. And that's how much He loved us. Oh, how broad, how wide, how deep, how high. The heavens and the earth declare how much He loved us, even before He formed us from the earth and breathed into us the breath of lives, creating us in His own image, the crown of creation, to place us in such a beautiful surroundings, providing us with everything we could possibly ever need. And even when we disobeyed Him, He showed His great love. He showed His great love by slaying a poor, defenseless animal to cover our nakedness, showing us that He would always provide forgiveness for our sins, promising us one who would take away the penalty of guilt and of sin, promising us a Savior, even as far back as Genesis 3:15, one who would be victorious over the serpent for all time and eternity. The sacrifice would be the proof that He always loved us, starting with the offering of Abel that was accepted by God, and Cain's wasn't. And that's our way of reciprocating His love back to Him, in acknowledgement of His great sacrifice that He made for us while yet in the garden, for time immemorial, all eternity, where even in heaven is the reminder of His great sacrifice of love, the Lamb freshly slain. Revelation 5:6, and I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a Lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Even the stiff, rigid law had a daily reminder, daily reminders, hundreds and thousands, of the great sacrifice that He Himself would provide on our behalf. Genesis 22:8, the promise He made to Abraham that He Himself would be the sacrifice. See, look, and learn is Horatio. Understand what this out of this world love is. Potapen is the word. Don't get scared. Interrogative adjective simply means it's a question. And it's made up of two adverbs. Pot, P-O-T-E, when, and pu, P-O-U, where. From when and where did this love come from? It's not a love of this realm. It's not of human origin. So it must be divine in nature. God, the creator of this vast and great universe, would look down on the human race and see a great need. Mankind, who He loved so much, was in the clutches of a great chaos from the results of sin. Agape doesn't just see it. Agape goes into action on behalf of the one in need. And unlike human love that sees the need but only wishes the well-being of the one in need. James talks about that in James 2:15. And John, later on in chapter 3, 3:17 and 18, love in word only and not deed. The sin was wrecked our soul. And just, like I said, it was chaos. Even the earth groans. Subjected to sin in Romans 8, 19, and 20. And it's eagerly awaiting the revealing of the children of God. So that's what the earth is up to right now. They're waiting for us to be glorified. God so loved the world that he would sacrifice the one thing that he loved the most. His only begotten son, John 3:16, as the long-awaited Savior to take away sin once for all. He saw the need and went into action. And because the Son loved the Father with agape more than anything, he volunteered to be the lamb led to the slaughter, knowing that he would be hated by his own kinsmen, hated by the religious leaders, treated brutally by the evil Romans. All through all that, he kept on the straight and narrow path to the cross to finish the work that the Father had given him to do. Agape always says, I do what is pleasing to the Father. In John 8:29. John 12:49, 50. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that this commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me, to offer eternal life to any and all who would believe in him by faith. And the faith isn't even of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Life we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us. There it is again, loved us and gave himself for us. Agape does not only give its life for its friends. John 15:13, but also for his enemies. Romans 5:8-9, God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if we were yet sinners, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Matthew 5:43, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But agape says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Even from the cross, he beseeched the Father for those who had just nailed him to the cross and those who were hurling insults at him. Jesus was saying, Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. While they were even casting lots for his clothing, rolling dice to get the clothes that he had on. What matter indeed of agape the Father has bestowed upon us? That word is ginomai, and it's in the perfect tense, once for all. To give, grant, bestow, it's a verb of grace. It will take us a lifetime plus all of eternity to know and understand this agape. It's truly beyond our capability to even understand it in the least. My advice, keep plugging, keep on learning to understand what the manner and how great this love. It's imperative that we do so. Not only did he save us from our sins and has gone as far as designating us Kalao, calling us children, techna of God. 1:12 of John says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the exousia, the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name. And Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading again to fear, but you have received an adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifying with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him. If we suffer with him, we also reign with him. In 2 Timothy 2:12. I get the 1st and 2nd Timothy's mixed up all the time. So that we may suffer with him and be glorified with him. Hebrews 10:2-10. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, bringing many sons and daughters to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power over death. That is, the devil. Agape was obedient to death, even the death of the cross, Philippians 2:8. And he learned obedience from the things that he suffered, so that he might be a faithful and high priest, identifying with us completely. Hebrews 2:17 and Hebrews 5:8. What love indeed God incarnate had and has, present tense, for you and me. He loves us to the utmost. Romans 8:38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I like Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, he's given the revelation to John, and it's from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us presently and released us from our sins by his blood. Children we are, Kai Esmen. And because of this, the cosmos world does not know us, because it did know him. John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me. Hated me first. 16:3 of John, these things they will do because they have not known the Father or me. John 17:25, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. The religious Jews had no idea. John 8:19, so they were saying to him, where is your Father? The Jews were saying to Jesus, you know neither my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father. But you don't know me either. Or like I said before, there won't be any plaques or rewards from your community. If we're lucky, they'll hate us and persecute us. Then we'll be blessed forevermore by our Father who's in heaven. Matthew 5:10, rejoice, for your reward in heaven is great. For it's because of him that they hate us. John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before you. All right, that's verse 1. 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. But we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, because we'll see him just as he is. Okay, this verse starts out, agapetoi. That's evocative, it's a name. It's, I guess you could say, it's sort of a pet name that the Lord has for us. Loved ones, divinely loved ones, agapetoi. His name for his beloved children. And we have the adverb noon, means now. There's nothing to wait for. No future things need to happen. We are the children of God. Children of God, and has not yet been manifested. Same word, same exact spelling and everything as in our 1 Timothy 3:16. Ephanerothe. It has not yet appeared what we will be like. For now we see in a mirror dimly. And at that time, it really was dim because there was no such thing as a mirror. If you were lucky, you'd get a piece of brass or something and put a real high shine on it, and maybe you might be able to see something that looks like your face in it, but that's why it says in a mirror dimly. But then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have already been known. We don't know what we'll be like, but He has always known us just the way that He made us to be. I am what I am, said I am. But we all, with unveiled face, 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Lord, the Spirit. But then we will know fully what we shall be like, because we'll see Him just as He is. When Christ, who is our life, Colossians 3:4, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. Philippians 3:21, our citizenship is in heaven, from where we wait for a Savior who will transform this body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Glorified human beings, just like Him, behold what manner of love. Verse 3, and everyone who has this hope on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Romans 5:5. Hope, elpido, does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit He's given us. As we bask in this great hope of our imminent glorification, Colossians 1:27, Christ in us, which gives us this hope. Let us continue to allow Him to love us and learn all we can about this out of this world agape and glory, in the fact that He loved us so much, who loved us and gave Himself for us, and never frustrate the grace of God. Galatians 2:20. Now it says, this hope purifies. The word is in katharizo, which means to cleanse or to purify. But hagiazo, to sanctify, to set us apart. For purity, of course, but that's where they got the pure at. But He set us apart from the world. We were ekklesia, called out from the world, to be holy to Him. Be ye holy, for I am holy. This is the command. 1 Peter 1:16, quoting Leviticus 19:2 and 20, verse 7. He has set us apart for this great endeavor. John 17:17, sanctify them in thy truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also be sanctified in truth. We are set apart to know the truth so that it can make us free. And also teaches us to know the one who set us free, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Okay, I've done insufficiently at best to describe this oh so strange, out of this world agape that the Father has bestowed upon us by and through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the beloved. It would take a lifetime to explain it fully. And like I said, insufficiently, I've tried to explain it. So I'll show you a more excellent way. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Empty speech, just a bunch of noise. Might as well go out and take two garbage can lids and smack them together. That's about all you're going to understand if you have every tongue that ever was spoken. Empty speech, just a lot of loud clanging and indistinct sounds, no words. If I have the gift of prophecy, know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, even to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I'm able to speak all the prophetic utterances and have all knowledge of all the mysteries, and have the faith to move mountains in Mark 11:23 and Luke 17:20. But I have not love. Uden imi. I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, profits me nothing. When Jesus was speaking to the rich young ruler in Luke 18:21, he said, "All these things I've kept from my youth," speaking of the Ten Commandments. "All these things I've kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said, one thing you still lack, Paul, I think that's Paul, but that's just my opinion. "One thing you still lack, sell all that you possess, distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And he was extremely rich. The young ruler, he neither loved his fellow man nor the Lord. He had not agape. He gave his body to boast. Gave everything he owned. "If I give my body over, then I might be able to boast about it. Kalkeomai. And have not agape. Whatever action you undertook in fleshly ability and power, you can brag about it, but God won't be impressed. Love is patient. Love is kind and not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant." The word for patient, macrothumia. We all know macrothumia. Macro meaning long, it's a prefix. And thumia meaning to suffer long. Here's God's macrothumia. 2 Peter 3:15. "In regard to the macrothumia of our Lord is salvation. Just as also our beloved brother, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. He is not willing that any should perish." 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient," macrothumia, "toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but that all may come to repent." Peter would know about macrothumia. It took him till he was old man to make an impact. But he made a good impact. I should talk. I'll be 70 in a couple more months. Agape is kind. Christodi. Just like Jesus' yoke in 11:30 of Matthew. Easy. Easy going. Easy to get along with. That's kind. That's being kind. And tolerance and patience, not knowing. Romans 2:4. "Do not think lightly of the riches of his kindness." Intolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. Agape is not envious or jealous of others, coveting what others possess or what they might have or what they might have done. Agape does not boast in vainglory. Is not arrogant, thusios, not puffed up with self-arrogance. 1 Corinthians 8:1. "Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant." There's puffed up, thusios. "But love edifies, it builds up." Agape builds up. "Do not do anything from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important." I don't do a very good job on that one. That's Philippians 2:3. "Have this mind, this same might in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Does not act becomingly. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Doesn't act unbecomingly. I kind of don't know what that means, but the Greek word is askemeneo, to defy moral standards, to be rude or ill-mannered. That's what unbecomingly means, I guess. Agape does not seek its own needs and provisions for this life. "The Son of Man had no place to lay his head," Matthew 8:20. Jesus said the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And one of my favorites, Matthew 6:31-33. Don't worry then. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear for clothing. The Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Don't worry. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Learn about his agape, and all these things will be added to you. Feeds the birds of the air, doesn't he? Oh, ye little faith. Agape, not provoked. Parazonomi, provoked, irritated, stimulated to anger. It's from the word oxus, which is swift or sharp, not quick to react in anger when you were wronged or someone is spreading lies about you. Make the good confession, like Jesus did before Pilate, speaking only when he had something important to say. John 19:11, Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this is the reason, he who delivered me to you has a greater sin." Agape does not keep a logbook, logizomai, keeping a record of all the wrongdoings against you, but commits them to the throne of grace so the Lord can take care of them for you. Romans 12:19, never take out your own revenge, beloved. Leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head." And he might get saved. This is our supreme example in 2 Corinthians 5:19, namely, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not logizomai, counting or imputing their sins against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation, by which we are ambassadors. And we beseech you, be reconciled. For he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Romans 12:9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be innocent in what is evil and wise in what is good. 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, and in your thinking be mature. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice together with because of that which has been lost has been found in Luke 15:32. Rejoice not that demons submit to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. There's something to rejoice about. 13:7 bears all things. Agape bears all things, believe all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Bears all things is the word stego, from stege, which means roof. You keep a lid on the things that you might know against someone else. You can keep a confidence that another has entrusted you with. People can rely on you to be able to tell you something and you won't go gossiping about it. Hupomeno stays, remains solid. Hupo, under, and meno, to abide. Remain solid under all and every circumstances. Revelation 3:10, because you have kept the word of my hupomone, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, the hour which is about to come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. If we endure hupomone, we will also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we deny him, he'll deny us. But here's all we have to do. Hebrews 12:2-3. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. There we are again. I debt. Keep looking. Don't just
take a quick glance, look in the mirror, and walk away and forget what you look like. But study Him. Study Him. Study this love, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him, hupomone, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down in the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who has endured hupomone, such hostility by sinners against Himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's His hupomone that we keep in Revelation 3:10. Love never fails. But if there is prophecy, they will be done away. Tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. Agape never fails. Pipto is the word. Never falls short of its intended purpose. John 17:4, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. He finished it. John 13:1, before the feast of Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour had come, He would depart out of this world to the Father. Having loved His own in the world, He loved them till the end. Telos. Never failed once. Telos. He finished the work. The greatest act of agape had been completed. Tetelestai. The Son of God's agape had loved His Father till the end, and has spilled over to all of us who have believed in Him. Now He is free to love us all with that same intensity that He loves His own Son. But prophecy, katargeo, it'll be done away. Tongues will pao, cease. Knowledge will be katargeo, all future tense. Come to be not and invalidated. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. For now we only have partial knowledge. Prophetic utterances are only partial. We only know and speak what our finite minds can grasp and understand. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Some say that this is referring to the fulfillment of the canon of Scripture. Sure, it's complete. You can't be added to and taken or taken away from. And it is complete. But we being unable, terribly unable to understand and grasp it. So it's not perfect in us yet. It'll only be perfect when we see Him face to face. And that's what that's referring to, I believe. Sure, the gifts, most of those gifts don't. If you've ever been to one of those churches, you know that those gifts that they're performing or acts put on, they're just pretending or imitating. I walked out of a couple because I got scared when they started talking in tongues because it just didn't feel like God. We will only know fully when we see agape Himself in His glorified humanity face to face. Old Job even knew. Job 19:25, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, He will take His stand on earth, even after my skin is destroyed. Yet from my flesh, I shall see God. And David, can't forget David, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied with your likeness when I awake, in Psalm 17:15. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in that mirror dimly again, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have already been fully known. Which takes us around the bend in a circle back to 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God. And it has not appeared yet what we will be, but we know when He appears, we'll be like Him, because we'll see Him just as He is. But until we see Him, our great God and Savior, face to face, while we're in these bodies of tapinosis, these three things remain. They stay, they abide with us as long as we're on this planet. faith, hope, and agape. But the my zone, greatest of all, is agape. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time of fellowship. Thank you for that unspeakable gift of your Son, Lord. There's not much you can say about it that English terms can describe. So we'll have to wait till we see you in heaven. And we'll know everything, and we'll be known by each other, by you. We'll know you fully. Oh, it'll just be a glorious day, Lord, and we can't wait. Come quickly. And Father, thank you in Jesus' name. We pray. Bless the fellowship remaining, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.